now.
Good morning. This is Solomon Jones on 900 AM, 96.1 FM, WURD. I want to welcome you to another edition of Wake Up With Word. The sun is shining bright this morning.
Solomon Jones is the host of Wake Up With Word on WURD. He's also a columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer and a Baptist minister. And last week, on the 35th anniversary of the MOVE bombing, he asked his listeners a question.
Does the city of Philadelphia owe the people of this city an apology for dropping a bomb on a neighborhood and devastating a community?
Most of them had a pretty clear answer.
I think we need it, but I don't think we're going to get it.
The city definitely needs to apologize to MOVE, but the city needs to apologize to those neighbors, too.
The city owes the MOVE people and Black people and just more than an apology.
You know, I don't think they ever could get back to whole based on how much they lost.
Wilson Good Sr., who was mayor of Philadelphia at the time, has apologized 4 times. He's now pushing for a formal apology from the city. Some city council members support that, but so far, Mayor Jim Kenney does not. What would it mean for the city to apologize for the MOVE bombing? And if that did happen, what could forgiveness look like? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. I asked Solomon to share his perspective on these questions and what he heard from his listeners. So Solomon, tell me about the group MOVE. What were they all about?
MOVE was a back to nature group. They were very much interested in the liberation of Black people. They were founded in the early 1970s by a man who called himself John Africa and a grad student at the University of Pennsylvania. They all took the last name Africa. They were also about living in a way that they felt was more free and more natural than what you saw in the city. Sometimes that led to tension with the people who lived around them, but they were very much about protesting what they did not agree with. So sometimes they protested celebrities. They loved animals, and so they protested the treatment of animals at the zoo. And they did not like oppression, and so they saw the police as a symbol of that, and they protested the police and their activities specifically as it concerned Black people, and that created tension as well. They were living around 33rd and Pearl Streets in West Philadelphia. And
that's like in Powelton Village,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And yeah. The neighbors didn't like what they were doing. I mean, they, for instance, would have compost on the lawn, which was like, you know, it had an odor. They would use profanity and shout things that the neighbors didn't necessarily want to hear.
The first big problem we had was the raw meat that they kept outside. It was a big, you could imagine a big tin of raw, bloody meat sitting outside of your house.
The loudspeakers went up in the spring of 84.
Long goddamn fight, because it's going to be a long goddamn fight.
You could not imagine. It's one thing to be 2 blocks away and hear it, but to live right next door, full blast in our bedroom.
Then we had to contend with things inside our house, you know, bugs that you couldn't do anything about them. I mean, they just totally, the bugs took over our house, you know. My children woke up in the middle of the night from bug bites, crying from things biting them in their beds.
And so the neighbors could not get them to change their behavior, and the neighbors asked for help from the city.
And so that's when the police were called in.
Yeah, the police came in and they tried to negotiate with them and tried to get them out of that community. They did not want to leave. And so that led to this confrontation in 1978, which was an armed confrontation. Bullets were fired, and an officer at the end of it named James Ramp lay dead in the street. And there were also injuries of 16 or so firefighters and police officers in that confrontation. So they moved to another neighborhood around 60th and Osage in West Philadelphia, 62nd and Osage. And they had the same issues with the neighbors, and the city was called in order to get them out. But what had happened in 1978 was still on the minds of the police officers who were there for that first confrontation, and they had not forgotten. And I think that that's part of what led to the outcome in 1985.
Which was what?
So in 1985, the police and the fire department are brought in by the mayor at the time, W. Wilson Good Sr., who was the city's first black mayor. And he brought them in to settle the matter. He thought that they could negotiate for them to vacate the premises. MOVE did not do that. And so once negotiations broke down, the police got the neighbors out. They cleared the block. And then the police and the fire department dropped a bomb. They dropped a device on the MOVE compound.
Let's take a careful look at this. 5:27 p.m. State police helicopter drops it. There is the explosion. As you can see, a very dramatic explosion that occurs 30 seconds and really rips into the MOVE compound. There you see the bunker, which soon will go up in flames. And that was the explosion close up. Now, if there's anybody there, standing there, it's obvious they couldn't survive that explosion.
And once that device was dropped from a state police helicopter, they allowed that fire to burn.
Yeah, I remember that day. I was 34 then.
Some of the callers who called into my show said that they could feel the heat from that fire from blocks away because it was so intense. They could see the orange of it glowing in the sky.
All I saw was orange fire just turning and burning. I never see a fire like that in my life. Mm. It was horrible. I can't go no further. I was in shock.
When the smoke cleared that day, there were 11 people dead, including 5 children.
Hmm. What did the bombing and the fire do to the neighborhood?
Well, the bombing and the fire destroyed the neighborhood. And 61 homes in total were destroyed. The city rebuilt, but the houses that they rebuilt were not good houses. There were many problems with those houses for years after that. And in fact, a new builder just came in maybe last year and redid those houses in that block. And they're beautiful houses there now, but for years, the neighbors felt like the city had hurt them twice, first by destroying their houses and then by giving them houses that were not livable, and they ended up having to leave. When I talked to activists about what happened with MOVE, they believe, and I tend to share the belief, that those who were supposed to put that fire out, those who were involved in that MOVE confrontation, wanted to cause harm, and perhaps even more than that, wanted to take life because of what had happened with Officer James Ramp, because of what had happened with the police in 1978, and wanted to take vengeance. Because otherwise, why would you drop a device on a house and then allow the fire to burn?
Now, Solomon, you're a native Philadelphian, so you obviously were in Philadelphia in 1985, living in Philadelphia. Tell me what you remember about the bombing from your vantage point. I'm sure you were just a baby, right?
I wasn't a baby. I was a senior in high school. But thank you. I was a senior in high school when this bombing took place. And I went to Northeast High School. And I didn't know a lot about West Philadelphia, but I heard about this bombing. But I was a teenager and I was about to graduate from high school. And that's what was on my mind. It wasn't something that I understood fully at the time or even wanted to. The one thing I think that struck me about it was that we had this black mayor. This was our first black mayor. And that this would be something that would be hung on him. And I felt bad about that because we had waited so long to have a black mayor and then to have this kind of stain on his record, I thought was unfortunate.
Yeah, and not just a black mayor, but a black mayor who had beaten Frank Rizzo, right?
Right. And Frank Rizzo is a big figure in all of this because Frank Rizzo came up in the department in the mid to late 60s, and then he became commissioner and he became the mayor. And his relationship with the black community was not a good one. His police department had been investigated by the FBI and had been called brutal by the feds. And so to have this black group confront the police and challenge the police and even have a police officer die in a confrontation with that group, that wasn't something that was going to be forgotten by the police who were loyal to Frank Rizzo and who had seen this black man, Wilson Good, beat him in a political contest. I think that the drama of that was the backdrop for everything that happened on May 13th, 1985.
So, Solomon, a lot of people, including former Mayor Wilson Good, are calling for the city to apologize. That was the question you put to your listeners last week on your radio show. Should the city apologize? And what did your callers have to say about that?
Well, I think that many of my callers felt like the city did owe an apology to not only the members of MOVE, but to all of us, to our community. Some pointed out the problems that MOVE had with the neighbors.
The people in that area were frightening that community. You got bullhorns, people walking over top of your roof screaming what they're going to do to the white man because how they were discriminated against and what was going on with them. 2-3 o'clock in the morning, bullhorns, kids got to go to school, people have to go to work, and people are frightened.
Some of my callers remembered interacting with the MOVE family, remembered talking to them in the different places where they lived, and they remembered them as peaceful.
I remember a John Africa that sat in Clark's Park and read books to children. Mm-hmm. They had a garden in front of their house. They was accused of having garbage.
But regardless of whether or not, you know, they were good neighbors, most people who called in thought that what happened that day was wrong, and they felt like it impacted not just MOVE, but the whole neighborhood and the whole city.
I think that the whole thing was handled wrong, and the city just wasn't responsible.
In my opinion, they showed poor judgment, and I think we witnessed the city fail us. And how do you drop a military-grade bomb on a residential area?
Yeah.
And have the fire commissioner let that fire burn? Mm. Those babies in there. And the point I'm trying to make is, it's the same typical stuff that's going on now. They don't care about us.
MOVE affected by the fire, but so much of our black community was affected by the fire, because after that fire, we have suffered so much throughout the city of Philadelphia.
And so when I asked that question, a lot of them said, yes, the city does owe them an apology, and I agree.
Wilson Good apologized before the 35th anniversary in an op-ed in The Guardian. And this was, I think, his fourth apology for the MOVE bombing. Is this the same thing as the city apologizing?
No, it's not the same thing as the city apologizing, because Wilson Good was certainly in charge. Wilson Good was the person who had the ability to stop what was happening. But I think that Wilson Good is one person. And when I look at the way that racism operates, it operates through systems. And you had a system in place that day. You had C4 that they'd gotten from the federal government, dropped by a helicopter from the state police, and carried out by police who were from a local municipality. And so you had three levels of government involved in that. That's systemic. And so the city of Philadelphia owes the people of MOVE an apology, but they also owe the rest of us an apology for engaging in that kind of brutality, that kind of militarism in a community and a community of color, which had already gone through so much prior to what happened with MOVE. MOVE, I think, was an assault on all of us carried out by a system that I think owes us an apology.
Usually when you're talking about apologies, especially when they come from an institution with power, you're talking about some sort of recourse that comes with it, some sort of amends, whether it be financial or otherwise. Could the city's apology come with some sort of reparation, or should it?
I think it should. I don't know that it will. I think when you look at the history of race in America, one of the reasons why the country has not issued an apology for slavery is because of the liability that would come with admitting that wrong. And I think you see some of that operating here in Philadelphia with the MOVE incident. Apologizing for and acknowledging that they're at fault for the MOVE bombing, that'll keep them from making that same mistake again. That's part of it. But then there has to be some reparation.
Philadelphia cannot ever, ever, Solomon, live this down unless they do something about this. Just like the reparations that they haven't given us for being slaves, they need to make this right.
But what would that look like, though? Are we talking about reparations for the members of MOVE, for the people who lived on the block, for all of West Philadelphia, all of the city? What are we talking about here?
I think that the people of MOVE are owed reparation for the damage that was done, for the lives that were taken. I think that the people of that community who lost homes are owed reparation because they lost their property. They lost memories. They lost things that were valuable to them that they will never get back. But then I think the broader issue is that the community as a whole is owed reparation. And so I believe that the city has to spend some resources to put something in place that educates our children about MOVE, that lets people know what happened there, and that prevents this from happening again.
I think the city of Philadelphia should have some type of information center, like what they will owe MOVE and the people of the city of Philadelphia, like to be educated about who they were.
And then one of the callers mentioned that the city should have some kind of place where people can learn about what happened with MOVE. And quite frankly, I think she was right.
Now, you know, the other part, the other piece of reconciliation is forgiveness. Do you think that the citizens of Philadelphia, particularly the Black community of Philadelphia, can forgive the city for what they did to MOVE?
I think that's a difficult question because I think that there will be those who will never forgive what happened that day. And certainly that's their prerogative. But from my point of view, forgiveness is not about the other person. Forgiveness is about you. It's about healing that hurt and that anger inside of you so that you can move forward. And so I would hope that that most of the community can forgive and move forward, not so that the perpetrators can heal, but so that we can heal.
Well, Solomon, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your perspective. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Solomon Jones is the host of Wake Up with Word on WURD. He's also a columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer. When we come back, we'll hear from MOVE member Mike Africa.
I think the word forgive is too strong for this situation, and I think the word apology is probably too weak for this situation.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. Mike Africa Jr. was born in a jail cell. His mom, Debbie Africa, and his dad, Mike Africa Sr., were part of the Move 9 who were collectively charged with the murder of Philadelphia police officer James Ramp. Debbie was serving the first year of a 40-year sentence when she gave birth to Mike in 1978. Mike Africa Jr. was 6 years old and living with relatives when the bombing happened. He talked about hearing about it for the first time.
It was evening time, and I went outside to play with a friend, and when I got outside, he said they dropped the bomb on Move, and I immediately responded. I said, no, they didn't. And he pointed to the sky behind me, and I looked up and I saw the smoke, the black smoke. And when I got in the house, I went to check with my aunts, and what I remember is my aunts were huddled up with each other watching the news, watching the fire.
And were you aware at that time, Mike, that, you know, the members of in that Move house were like your people?
Sure. What I didn't know was who was in there, how many people. I wasn't aware of that information. I didn't really get the full story until probably about 7 or 8 years later. The way that I got the full story was I was at a speaking event with Ramona Africa, and she was giving a lecture to an auditorium of students. And as she's telling the audience the story and they're hearing it for the first time, I was also hearing the story for the first time.
Wow. And so how did you feel when you got the full story?
I felt kind of numb, kind of traumatized. The confirmation brought about like a deeper level of sadness.
So, you know, Mayor Good, Wilson Good, has apologized again for his role in this bombing, and he's urging the city to apologize too. What do you think about that? Would you be willing to forgive him?
I think the word forgive is too strong for this situation, and I think the word apology is probably too weak for this situation. Apology without action is useless. They can never bring back the lives that were taken, and to apologize, it just feels so insulting.
Because it's not enough?
Yeah, because it's really not enough, and there's nothing that can be done to bring back our people. And our people have suffered so much. I don't know. You know, you apologize for knocking somebody's glass of milk off the table. Like, apology, it just feels so flimsy. Forgiveness, I don't think you can forgive something. I don't think I can forgive something like that. I mean, people lost their children. More needs to be done in order to, like, prove it. It's mm-hmm. a delicate situation. The community mm-hmm. members, you know, you got 250 people that were left homeless. And then they still weren't made whole years later when those houses were built under shoddy construction conditions. I don't know. The whole situation is a sad, sorry situation.
So let me ask you this, Mike. The various confrontations that Move members had with the neighbors in the neighborhoods in which they lived and the police are pretty well chronicled. You know, Move members created all kinds of disturbances, loud speakers blasting at all hours of the night. Do you think that Move owes the neighbors anything?
Move has been very active with some of those neighbors that are still there. It would be very good to have conversations about what went down and how to try to do the best thing to remedy it. I don't know if anybody owes anybody anything in that. I don't know. But I think it's important to be united.
So I know you've been involved in an effort for a while now with former city officials to talk about reconciliation. How's that going?
What the elders have spoken to me about is what is called restorative justice. That is where the people that has made the offense goes through the process of finding a way to restore justice.
How do you envision that looking like?
We put together a restorative justice program for this very thing. The way it was structured was the community and the group decided that there should be an apology, which is what's happening now, but also there's a sign, Wilson Good Way. The committee wanted that sign to come down, and then there wanted to be a memorial, and the purpose of that would be so that people could see what happened and so that we make sure that something like this never happens again. This is a humanity issue. This is not a Philadelphia issue. This is not an Osage Avenue issue. This is not a MOVE issue or a politician's issue. This is an issue of humanity.
Thanks so much for talking to me today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for your time.
That was MOVE member Mike Africa Jr. Many thanks to the Philadelphia Inquirer and especially WURD for the use of their audio. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Ben-Yaakov, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. Stay well, stay safe, and we'll see you Monday.